Hello and welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall. Thanks for joining me. Another big week in front of us here. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about what type of investor you are. Are you short-term investor, long-term investor? We're going to talk about the future of sports and some very interesting investment opportunities in the sports industry. That's coming up here as well. Also going to talk about the question of last week. Are we investing in China? Is it worth it? A lot of good answers. And my new background, all coming up on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
All right, again, thanks for joining me here. This is Matt McCall, Moneyline here this week. It is, I'm actually taping this late Thursday, but it'll be going out Friday. What's going to date? It's going to be May 15th. As you notice, a little bit of a different background here. I've been stuck in the condo for the last several weeks, so I thought I'd get out and get a little bit of a different background. Don't worry, I am definitely still social distancing. I have my little face mask here on in case when I go outside I have to go anywhere. But a little bit nicer background, change things up a little bit. A little bit of white brings some happiness into your life. But again, a big show this week. And Friday we had the markets open down. And a lot of stuff going back and forth on Twitter this week about people questioning, Matt, why is the market down today? Why is the stock down today? Well, I wanted to bring that to light because, I get a bit irritated sometimes when people ask me why the market's down today, why the stock is down today. But I will say it's not your fault that you ask those questions because you've been trained by the media to ask those questions. I did a segment the other day this week on Cheddar TV, a great little startup, kind of a wannabe CNBC, but for like millennials, a bit younger generation, they're trying, they're doing a good job. The problem I have a lot of times with some of the hosts in there, I don't know if they're quite educated on the market. I don't know if they're just being lazy and not asking me good questions. But I was seeming like I was asked the same question several times, and that was basically, why is the market down today? And the market was down that day. But what I tried to explain to the host was that the Nasdaq's been up six consecutive days. It's rallied over 30%. We are now up for 2020. So if we have a couple down days, the fact of what the situation we're still in, who cares? There's no reason why it's down. It's down because we cannot go up every single day. So I get why people ask these questions, because unfortunately, the media will feed you a bunch of BS and tell you why the market's down today. It's not true. Sure, was there some headlines? I could pull 10 negative headlines today and the market is up on Thursday. I could pull 10 positive headlines and tell you this is why the market's up. It's very easy to manipulate the news. And obviously we know the media does that. So again, I'm not coming after my viewers or my Twitter followers or my subscribers or anybody who follows me anywhere. I'm not coming after you. What I'm trying to do is get through, because if you continue to have that mindset of looking at your long-term investments from a day-to-day basis, you're going to be very unsuccessful at investing. It's the bottom line. A lot of people out there get mad at me and they say, the rich get richer. The people who have money make more money. I didn't come from shit, folks. No money at all. But I've been able to own a studio right here behind me. And own a bunch of other businesses because I've worked hard. And I've realized in the investment game that it's not about the rich versus the poor. It's about doing hard work, knowing who you are as an investor, and understanding it, and educating myself. So I'm here to educate you this week. Before we jump into the fun topics, I want you to figure out who you are. Most of you should say you're a long-term investor. Some of you are traders and short-term investors. That's great. I've 100% behind you. If that's what your full-time job is and you can put time into it, do your due diligence and actually be successful and make money. I applaud you. It's not easy to do. But most of you watching are going to be long-term investors. So I'm speaking to you. I'm not telling you short-term guys to turn off, but I'm speaking to the long-term, let's call it the 99% out there. And I'm not saying based on wealth. I'm just saying based on what you should be doing with your money. And even the short-term investors most likely have some type of retirement account or some type of long-term investment vehicle. I hope, because you can't put it all in the short term because you never know what can happen. You can see what happened this year. So let's talk about this a little bit. If I look down here, it's because my computer's down here. This is my makeshift desk today, here for today. So that's this week's question. And don't forget, you always have to click like, notify, subscribe, all that stuff on a video below you. And for comments, I want you to answer this. And you don't have to answer it now. You can listen to this segment and then answer. Are you a short-term trader slash investor or a long-term investor? And I will get to last week's question after I talk about this and go over that. But what I want you to know is, as a long-term investor, I'm not saying you hold on it forever. You know, when I first started this business, it was buy and hold. And I was very much against buy and hold. I consider buy and hold to be more of a buy and ignore. And even still, with my money management firm, Penn Financial Group, when I get new clients in, a lot of times you look at the portfolio that's transferred over to me, and you'll notice a lot of the people come over and say, well, my broker hasn't done anything in 15 years. It's the same stocks. And you see a bunch of dogs in there a lot of times. And, you know, I'm not going to pick all winners, so I get that. But at the same time, you want to be able to, you could buy and hold. I mean, I love long-term investing, but don't buy and ignore. So there's a difference there. So I do believe in buy and hold these days. But the way that it comes across typically is going to be buy and hold, but essentially they're buying and ignoring it. They're putting it away forever, not looking at anything changing. So we're going to be buy and hold investors. We will look long-term. You know, as you've known before, I love the next 10 years in the market. I think it's very similar to 1990 setup. We're going to have 10 fantastic years. The roaring 2020s are going to be absolutely fantastic for investors. So we do want to buy and hold some solid long-term companies that I think will take advantage of some of the themes that we've talked about, whether it be 5G, Internet of Things, AI, genomics, the future of healthcare, telemedicine, work from home, software, blockchain, crypto, you name it. I mean, on and on and on. Of all these long-term themes. And I'm going to probably say that 80 to 90%, if not 100% of these themes will come to fruition. If we pick the right stocks in there, we're going to be extremely wealthy in the next 10 years. I don't care what happens with any other pandemics or anything else that's going on. It's all irrelevant. Because as many of you know, a lot of the stocks in there are actually doing well. Some hitting highs, all-time highs, in the face of what's going on. So when you think long-term, there's opportunities. Either your stock continues to do well right through a pandemic, or your stock gets crushed for no good reason, and it pulls back and gives you a great buying opportunity. So that there's opportunities on both sides of this. So we are long-term investors. I want you to think that way. Another way to look at this is, if you're a short-term investor, and you're playing, you know, the ups and downs, you realize you're playing earnings four times a year. You have no idea what earnings are going to say, number one. Number two, you have no idea how investors are going to react to those earnings and how they're going to move the stock. You have news that comes out. Every company has news you don't know about at least several times a year. So you're suddenly looking at about, what, 270 trading days or so, let's give or take. You got four earnings. You probably got another at least 16 days of random news. So it's 20 days. You're looking at almost 10% of the time the potential of the stock to move. I mean, that's pretty risky. So, but as a long-term investor, you have to realize the same thing. There's a 1 in 10 chance maybe every 2 weeks your stock's going to move based on specific news to that stock. You know, I'm not even talking about market news. I'm talking about specific stock news. Some of the smaller ones won't have as much news, but still, you're going to see stocks moving. And as a long-term investor, you have to realize you have to be able to weather that. So I responded to somebody on Twitter this week, and I said, if you can't basically handle it, can't handle the heat in the kitchen, get the hell out. Because if you are going to look at your stocks every single day and fret over them and lose sleep and wonder why it's down, it was just up 4 days in a row. I mean, I had a stock that rallied to a new all-time high and it pulled back. And people were wondering why it pulled back. Because you can't hit a new all-time high every day. You have to be realistic. If you go into investing with unrealistic expectations, you are bound to be burned. And more importantly, you're going to probably lose a shitload of money. So please, folks, we have to understand who we are, what we're doing. As long as you understand that, man, you got half the battle beat already. So please, I don't want to get off my soapbox, and literally I'm on a box right now. I'm going to get off my soapbox, but the reason I want to bring this up is because I truly think once you hear this over and over from me, you'll get it. It took me a while to get it. Trust me. It took me years to figure this stuff out when I was younger. But once you figure it out, it's going to be so much easier to be successful in investing. And that's what I'm here for, to help you do. All right, so again, this week's question, put down below. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe down there. And also in the comments, are you a short-term investor, or a short-term trader, or a long-term investor? You all better be saying long-term investor in some way. But I want to see what everybody says. So last week's question was, are you willing to invest in China? Overwhelmingly, I'd say over 90% of respondents said absolutely they're going to invest in China. It could be because of the fact that I'm bullish on China. A lot of people watch me, obviously probably believe in what I say. Otherwise, they're just watching to get pissed off at me. So you're probably going to back what I say a lot of times. So I could see it's a bit of a skewed response. But boy, it was a big number. I was overwhelmed with it. And I like to see that because there is a ton of opportunity in China. Again, political views aside, we're just talking about making money. So, all right, that was last week's question. This week's question, you know, we talked about long-term investing. Before I get into the future of sports and some investment opportunities, I want to talk about one more thing here when it comes to long-term investing. And I'm going to give you an example of why long-term investing works and why turning into a short-term trader while you think you're a long-term investor will bite you in the ass. Netflix is my example I'm going to use. I'm going to keep looking down here because this is where I have my numbers. So I looked at the last 10 years of Netflix, and I didn't go all the way back to when it was like single digits, you know, split adjusted. I didn't go back that far. Actually, it was close to this. I went back to July. I went back 10 years. So I looked at July of 2011. Remember, we bottomed in March 2009, so the market was on its way up. I mean, we're in the midst of a bull market. All these things I'm about to talk about, remember, in the midst of a bull market, one of the strongest and greatest bull markets of all time. This is what happened to Netflix. Netflix, July 2011, was trading around $41. It fell to $9 by November of that year. So from July 2011 to November 2011, Netflix fell from $41 down to $9. Could have said it's over. The future of Netflix is not going to happen. Done. It lost 78% of its value. How many people do you think were willing to hold on from 41 down to 9? Probably not many. But if you're a long-term investor, unfortunately, sometimes you have to weather that, losing over 3/4 of the value of the stock. But if you believed in that trend, you'd still be in it. And let me just give you an example here real quick. I just want to get an up-to-date price right now of where Netflix is to give you an idea of context of what I'm talking about here. Netflix is at $440 a share. So it went from 41 to 9. If you bought it at 41, you'd be up over 10 times your money, over 10x. You always talk about these 10xers. 10x in about 9 years, just under 9 years. That turns every $10,000 into 100. That's a big difference, folks. So you probably would have got swapped out if you weren't a long-term investor, didn't have a thesis of why to own Netflix. Let's say you didn't get swapped out. You didn't get knocked out of it. Let's move ahead to late 2015. Netflix is now at 127, so you're probably really happy, more than triple it from where you were in 2011. So from 2011 to late 2015, we're at 127 a share. From late 2015 to early 2016, it dropped down to $86 a share, lost a third of its value. Down 33%, boom, like that. Again, you could start saying, you know what? Netflix is all it's gonna be. It's done. It's early 2016, too much competition. It's over. Let's sell here at 86 bucks. Again, today, it's at $440 a share. The person who doesn't have the long-term investing gene in their mind, and we're not born with it, trust me, we were born lizard brains. We don't have that gene. We need to create that gene. Maybe gene editing they could put in my brain one day. Mine, I still have to make sure I have it every day. We're not born with that gene, but man, if you didn't have it, you would have sold down there, probably 86. Fast forward a couple years, not too long ago. June 2018 through December of 2018, Netflix drops from $416 a share to $226. That's a drop of 45%. Again, today we're at $440 a share on Netflix. So let's just think about this through real quick. In the last 9 years, Netflix long-term investors had to deal with a pullback of 78%, 33%, and 45%. And there's a couple others in there of 20% or more too. I didn't even throw those in there. Those are the three bigger ones. Three times, folks. There's actually one just last year too. Three times though, you've had to deal with this. But if you would have got swung out early, say you bought in at 40 bucks, you had a 20% stop loss, you got in at 32, took your 20% loss, you would have missed out on 11x your gains right now, 11 times your gains. I mean, this happens all the times. So when people hit me up on Twitter or my friends and my family call, especially that's the worst. You know, friends and family want stock ideas from you. I refuse to share anything. I said, you can go to my newsletter if you want to find out. You can read like everybody else in the world. because there's no upside for me at all. Because if I tell them a stock and it goes up, that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. If I tell them a stock goes down, I'm not good at my job. That's just how it works. So I don't give away any stock ideas I'm looking at, nothing. A group of my friends I grew up with are very tight. They're all sitting home quarantined with their kids, looking for stuff to do. We have a text chain going, and we're all picking their top three stocks for next 3 months. We take the average gain of that, and then the loser buys everybody dinner. I did not get involved in a game because I'm a professional, and it's not what I do. You know, it's, again, if I win, I'm supposed to win. If I lose, I'll never hear the end of it from these guys. So I didn't give anything out there, and they've been busting my chops because of that. But I don't, if you know, when it comes to this, because you have no upside. Because when somebody asks you for a stock idea, they're usually thinking out a day, 2 days, maybe a year. They're not thinking long term. Same thing with this. When people get excited that one of my stocks that I recommend goes up, I'm happy it goes up. I'm happy you're excited. But I'm also realistic. It's not going up every day. So please, when you think about, you know, your stocks and you see, oh, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. But man, I really believe in this theme. I know 5G is going to happen. I know artificial intelligence is going to continue to expand. I know Internet of Things is real. I know electric vehicles are going to happen. I know self-driving cars are the future. Well, they don't go straight up. Stocks in the internet didn't go straight up in the 80s and 90s. Things do not go straight up. And Netflix is a great example of one of the greatest stocks of the last 15 years of how people had to weather the ups and downs. And again, those three examples were not during bear markets. They were during one of the strongest bull markets in the history of this country. Bear that in mind. That's extremely important. Because you say, oh, well, it pulled back 30% because the market was down 40, I should do better. No, it's not the case. This lagged the market dramatically. So keep that in mind. So again, down below, put your comments, please. Are you long-term or short-term? Very simple. I hope everybody says long-term. At least they have some of their money in long-term. Because that's where you should be. Let's talk future sports. I'm sitting in right now a Pilates studio here, so it's kind of sports related. I can't wait for sports to get back. And we're starting to see, I think, NASCAR, which I don't watch, I'm pretty sure they have a race coming up. I know the PGA Golf will be playing with no fans. I'm pretty sure the, obviously the NASCAR, I assume, would be no fans as well. No big gatherings like that, but we're starting to see sports come back. There's rumors the NBA is trying to figure something out. NHL, I kind of doubt that they're going to come back personally. But, you know, NFL, I talked last week, released their schedule. I don't know if it's going to be on time. Will it be fans there? But what I do see the fact that we will get back to sports again in a normal way. They may be kind of weird for the first year, but we will get back. So the future of sports, to me, look at a couple different angles. One, it's going to be a little different, but I also feel like the experience, the user experience will be fantastic when we get back. I also know that the future of gambling on sports continues to take off. We're seeing actually a lot of states and areas that allow gambling on sports doing very, very well online. We're seeing fantasy sports explode. We'll talk about one of the stocks here in a minute. So there's a lot of things going on. But let me talk about you know, what it's like to own a professional sports team. Not that I know personally, but I will say if there's one thing I strive to achieve, other than just, you know, becoming the first trillionaire in the world, it's to, if I had to buy one thing, it'd be a part owner of a sports team. Likely the Philadelphia Eagles, because I still think the NFL is probably the greatest investment. Number two would probably be the Philadelphia 76ers, because I think as a season ticket holder, I think their management sucks, and I think their owners are terrible. So I'd get rid of them, and I'd buy the team, and I'd take over and take us to the NBA Finals for like 5 years in a row. So it's amazing to own professional teams. The downside is there's only so many. There's what, 30 NBA teams, 31 NHL teams? Was there 32 NFL teams? Baseball, 30, 32. So if you look at 120, 125 of the four major sports in the United States, opportunities to own. That's not a lot. There's over 320 million people. They have 125 opportunities. The odds aren't good that you're going to own a professional sports team. Well, there's a couple stocks out there that give us the opportunity to own a professional sports team. But what makes professional sports owning a team such a great investment is scarcity. I just mentioned there's only 125 of them. So the fact there's not that many makes it a great investment. because there's always going to be some rich dude that grew up like me that his dream or her dream is to own a sports team, and they're willing to pay a lot more than what it's worth, and they're going to keep paying more and more, and it's going to keep going higher. If you look back in the last 20 years or so, one of the greatest investments is buying into a professional sports team. So let's talk about this a little bit. MSG, Madison Square Garden, it's a stock that was in our portfolio for a while as a play on sports gambling and a play in sports in general. The company just split up. When it was together, it owns the Knicks, New York Knicks, New York Rangers of the NBA and NHL, the New York Liberty, which is WNBA, and a minor league team in there as well, basketball team. They also have an esports team. Then they also owned Madison Square Garden, the Forum in LA, which they just sold actually to Steve Ballmer of Microsoft fame. They just sold that to him for $400 million recently, and the Spire that they're building out there in Vegas. So it split off in entertainment, and they kept the sports separately. So now all the sports are in one. So it's MSGS is the symbol, and the other one is MSGE, the entertainment side. I'm not going to talk about the entertainment side today, but the sports side. So we have the Knicks and the Rangers, and those are the two really that make up the value of that. Well, MSGS right now is trading at a value of about $3.7 billion. You say, okay, well, 3.7 doesn't mean much to me. Well, let's take a look at what Forbes values the Knicks and the Rangers at. Both are number one highest valued teams in their respective leagues. The Knicks are valued at $4.6 billion, the Rangers at $1.65 billion. You add it together, simple math, that's about $6.25 billion. So $6.25 billion is what they're valued at. See, Matt, well, you just told me the value of the stock is 3.7. Exactly. There's a disconnect here, folks. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's got about debt about $250 million, $250 million. So let's wipe that off. So that suddenly takes our value down to, what, about six or so? Yeah, about six. Right around $6 billion. So even with no debt, it's valued at $6 billion, according to Forbes. And you're going to say, what does Forbes mean? Well, I'll tell you in a second, because there's a history on the backing of what Forbes says things are worth. So, okay, so we have that. So it's down to $6 billion now. It's trading at 3.7. And let's knock it down even, you know, maybe a little bit more. I mean, we can knock it down even a little more if you want. But we're at $6 billion. We're at 3.7 now. Well, you know, a lot of times, they, according to the numbers, publicly traded sports teams, there's not many of them. The Braves are publicly traded. I'll talk about them in a minute. Man U, Manchester United, which is a big soccer team over in England, publicly traded. Typically, they're going to trade at about 10 to 20% less of what their intrinsic value is. So let's just say you take 10% off. That knocks it down to, what, about 5.4 billion or so? I mean, or not even, let's call it 5.4 billion. Let's call it 5.3 just to make things a little bit easier. We'll even take off an extra $100 million there. So $5.3 billion. We're trading at $3.7 billion right now. So if we get to that, that's a 10% haircut plus the debt plus an extra $100 million just for, you know, shits and giggles. We're down to 43% potential upside from where we are now. And that goes from $3.7 billion to $5.3 billion. That's 43% upside. That's taking the value of these sports teams, taking 10% off, taking the debt off of $250 million and taking another $100 million off, again, just to make it sound even more conservative. That's 43% upside for MSGE. That's pretty amazing. You're going to say, Matt, well, there's no sports teams playing right now. I'll get back to that in a minute. However, there's an underlying little asterisk here. According to research, Forbes says, they're worth $6.25 billion. It shows the last 50 deals. Last time, 50 times that professional sports teams were sold, they actually sold at an average of a 30% premium to what Forbes has. A premium. And forget, a lot of times they trade at a discount. It's trading a major discount. A premium. So let's add that 30% premium in there. We now see it trading at about $8.06 billion, $8.1 billion around there. Let's call it a little $8 billion. From where we are right now, 3.7, and this is if the Knicks and the Rangers sell for 30% above their value right now, that's 188% upside. 188% to the upside, folks, from where we are right now. Do I think they'll be sold? I do. I think that's why they got spun off, and I think they're going to be sold. My point is, when a company breaks up like this, a lot of times they say they break it up and they'll be valued better. They're going to value the sports team separately from entertainment, two completely different business models. So now that they're separate, They're not trading like it. They're trading such a disconnect. So MSGS is unbelievably cheap right here. If you believe the NHL and the NBA will come back, I don't even care if they don't come back this year. They could cancel both their seasons. They come back next year, these are both a steal. I don't care if the valuation drops 10%. It doesn't matter. It's still a steal. Again, basing it at a 10% discount to the values, basing it on the $250 million in debt that they have, it's still a 43% upside from here. Unbelievable to me looking at this. I mean, when I look at this sometimes, I can look at the numbers, I feel like it just doesn't make sense. But sometimes that's when you come across things like, wow, this does make sense. However, let me get back, circle back here. This is short term versus long term. I don't know 100% if these teams get sold. I think they do. I think somebody's going to swoop in, buy the Knicks, and turn them around. City needs it. As a Sixers fan, I don't want to see it happen, but I think it will. I think you're going to see the Knicks be really good in the next 10 years. I think somebody circles around, buys them up. I think the Rangers get thrown in a deal. Rangers need to turn around too. Again, as a Flyers fan, I don't want to see it, but I think they'll turn around too. Big, big market. Actually, the biggest market, New York City. MSG. I mean, man, what a place to see a game. I've seen hockey and basketball games there. College basketball, I've seen it all. Concerts. One of the greatest arenas in the world. So somebody's going to come in and pay a huge premium. And if the average premium is 30%, I got to tell you what, I think New York gets even a higher premium. So I think at a low end, this is 40% upside. High end, 250% upside from here. But again, the time frame, I don't know. It could be bought tomorrow. It could be bought in 3 years, 5 years, never. But at some point, it's going to be valued a little bit more where it should be. So I think there's that big upside due to that. So again, MSGS is a symbol. The other one, MSGE, is the entertainment side. It's been spun off as well. I'm not going to dive into that today. But again, we have that in our portfolio. I don't always share stocks we have, but we've had it for a while. So it's part of our sports gambling portfolio. A couple other great stocks in there. But, you know, there's another stock that is publicly traded. That's a soccer team, Manchester United. I'm not a soccer fan, but I know a lot of people out there. M-A-N-U is a symbol, Man U. Obviously, everybody's heard of Manchester United if you know sports at all. One of the kind of like the New York Yankees of global soccer. So that's a team that if you're interested in, you could do some research and look at that as well. There's another sports team out there. The Braves also trade, Atlanta Braves, baseball team. And also, doesn't trade publicly, but the Green Bay Packers are actually owned by like the citizens of Green Bay, have an opportunity to buy shares in the company. I did see their numbers, though, the last couple of years they came out recently, like the last 4 years. Man, their net profit is dropping, like down to almost zero last year. That team's in trouble. Overpaying for a quarterback who complains too much, I got to tell you. Would not want to be a shareholder of the Green Bay Packers right now. Sorry, anybody who lives in Wisconsin, all you cheeseheads. I hate to tell you, I don't want to be a cheesehead right now. And one other stock in here to keep an eye on. I've talked about this when I was back about a month ago. It's gone up really high since then, and that's DraftKings. That's DKNG. That is the play on not only is it play on fantasy sports, it's also play on sports gambling. They're playing sports gambling as well. So that stock's really taken off. So that's one to keep an eye on as well. So we're going to leave it there this week. But again, don't forget to comment down below, long-term investor, short-term investor. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, post them in the comments down here. I'll definitely get to them. Sometimes they get lost in Twitter. Definitely post them down there. I will get to them as much as I can. But again, keep in mind, this is long-term investing. And I'm going to just check the markets here real quick and see where we're at. As I mentioned, we're taping this, it's markets closing right now on Thursday afternoon, and people kept asking, why is the market down? Why is the market down? Well, we were down big this morning. We're now up almost 350 points in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, up about 1.5%, up about 1% in the S&P. Netflix, I was talking about, is at $441 a share. Unbelievable. Man, the all-time high is $452. We're not far from it. So stocks to me, real quick, this is actually important. I should talk about this earlier. The market itself before we wrap up. You know, keep in mind that the market rally, let me get the numbers here exactly. Well, first of all, the Dow, or the S&P, I should say, fell about 34%. The quickest bear markets ever, or the quickest bear market ever, down 34% on the COVID. It then rallied 31%. That doesn't get within 3% of a high, because when you fall that much, you have to come up much higher. Remember, when you fall 50%, you need 100% rally to get back to even. fell 34, rallied 31. We're now down less than 4% from that high of the recent rally, and people are freaking the hell out. Please remember, folks, we don't go straight up. After a 31% rally, we had the NASDAQ up 6 days in a row earlier this week. It is okay to see a pullback. I'm looking at it as an opportunity to put some more cash to work. I think there's great opportunity out there right now. Use this, use the fear in the people that don't watch this. Use the fear in the people that don't read and keep up with it. Use the fear in the people that just don't get it. Because if you do get it, I gotta tell you, over time, you are gonna be extremely successful in the markets. You know, that means something different to everybody. It could be a couple hundred dollars to you, it could be 2 million to somebody else, it could be 30 million to somebody else. You'll be successful though. Again, this is Matt McCall. Thank you so much. And wrapping up here on Thursday evening, I hope you have a great Friday, though. You'll see this on Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. I mean, I see Friday here in Baltimore. It's going to be beautiful. Go out there, hug somebody you love. Have a great day. Again, this is Matt McCall. It's been your Moneyline.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.